the following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
The following show may impair the ability to drive or operate machinery, so use care until you become familiar with the effects of the following show.
Show.
Any portion of the following show,
show
may be duplicated and freely distributed throughout the world. Permission is granted to share all data electronically over the internet or any other electronical mechanical means that you do so feel that you can do it. Feel free to enjoy it and to think freely as you do. Although this program will have no tangible effect on everyday life on Earth, its implications for science, philosophy, and even religion are profound.
Back to our show.
SRN, the Spirit of South York, Network 1KX, is proud to present the following show. First, this word from Nutman.
Oh. This is not an occult science. This is not one of those crazy systems of divination and astrology. That stuff's hooey, and you got to have a screw loose to go in for that sort of thing. Our beliefs are fairly commonplace and simple to understand. Humankind is simply materialized color operating on the 49th vibration. You would make that conclusion walking down the street or going to the store.
Frank is on.
Frank
is on.
That's right, Frank.
Yes, Frank. Yes, Frank is
that's
on.
Me.
And I'm listening to him.
You sure?
I'm listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. I love you, Frank.
I know. It's
Frankie.
It's a common feeling, I believe. And that's why. And so, and I send that love right back to you, to our wonderful, wonderful country of Canada,
the country that continues to support us and allows you to be able to hear this program in its entirety through SRN, the Spirit of South York, and all the wonderful people who work there. I say this to you, it is time every once in a while to sit back, to sit down, sit back, sit wherever you want, sit over, cross-legged, or whatever it is you do that makes you comfortable, and to give thanks for those people who help you, support you throughout your life. It's only a handful, and God knows you can't hold them in your hand. So here is our tribute, everyone. Wonderful! Your streams, your mountains, your people, your Mounties. The Mounties on the mountains, the people on the Mounties. People mounting one another. Whatever happens, it happens in Canada. Stay warm. Play hockey. Enjoy yourself. Life is just a game to play. And here we are, ready to play it. Go bang, bang, clip, clip, and let's get off on the right track.
Pow! Pow!
Oops!
Wake up, it's night. Not waiting any longer. It's real-time editing, my friends, my comrades. Here we go. Bard of the internet? Hey, Deck, I'm the Bard of broadcasting, okay? And that's happening right here. Spring is springing, and here we go! My name is Frank Cotolo, man, his name is George, the title of the show. I couldn't wait, just couldn't wait. I had to pop in there and start talking. Because it's a talk show. And it's a fun talk show. Oh, it's good. It's really good. You thought you had everything you need, and then you started listening here, and you said, hey, how has this been missing from my diet of listening? Well, it won't any longer, because here we go, off the cuff. Off the head, not even close to the vest. Not even close. Cthulhu will be chronicling lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. Stay around. Ice cap to ice cap from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Every. Is that how you say it? It's really every. It's really should not have that other E in it, or the E should be silent. But I'm not going to be silent because I'm here. Y2K plus, oh boy, 19. And spring is coming. That means that we're going to have natural heat. And we're going to be able to do some more stuff because we got a lot of things to do yet before we draw the curtains. And where should we draw the curtains? Probably on the windows. I guess that's a place. Oh, best place to draw them. You see the return? You see a lot of things. You know, the place is getting old, all right? It's not me. It's the place. It's everything about every object, every electronical and E thing that keeps this show cooking. As technology gets better, it pushes us into a corner that is close to oblivion. Now, let me tell you this, and I'm going to tell you a lot of stuff, which is why we're going to talk today about time capsules, because it's not obligatory, but it's something that we want to tell you about, because the time capsule project never ended. I think it began back in 2008, and you're going to hear what we had to say about it back in 2008. But as we move on, I do want to say this. I made a mistake. He paused. I thought that we had shows archived way back. Actually, what I'm saying is I miscalculated without looking, because I don't do that. Without calculating, I misspoke. And said that we might have shows from 2006 on. We don't. We have shows from 2007 on. Why is that bad in the archives? Because and that happened because of breakdowns and various things that went wrong with with hard disks, mother servers. What is it? Wait, mother boards, you know, disk boards, whatever. All the stuff, the zeros and ones. So I found there's still plenty of shows that I could find now, as I talked to you a couple of weeks ago, months ago. I don't remember anymore when we're on because of the things that happen here and because of the tough winters. Okay. And, I said that we might, well, here's what I, it was my greatest fear was that some shows that were the greatest shows of all time, according to people who have listened and myself, we agreed. The audience and I agreed that there would be, that they were later than 2006, but they weren't. So while looking for a couple of shows that have been requested, I got sad news. I have sad news. I got sad news. I have sad news. They're gone. Probably forever. Unless somebody out there was recording this show, because they're not in the archives, they're not at Juice Talk, they're not in my archives, they're not in the cloud. It wasn't a cloud back then. We saved these things on hard disks, and you know what happened to those suckers? They burn out, they bust up, they do all sorts of weird things, and they take everything with them. We didn't even have Carbonite, so we couldn't save the files we had. Did we? There's a good, you know, that's a darn good, that just came up in my head. Does Carbonite, has it saved things I'm talking about. Has it saved files from, you know, I got to look into that. You know, let's put a halt on this particular obituary for the, and think about that. I'm going to look at that here. I'm going to make a note. Carbonite, because we've been saving files up on that joint for ages. For all we know, there's stuff there we don't know, right? Okay, Carbonite archives. Let's see, not now, because we're going to do this show. Let's see if we go back before 2006, and then I won't say anything, because there's a couple of shows that I thought were later than that. But we did find a bunch of shows, and particularly 2008 was a very crowded year for guests, for topics that were exciting then and are exciting now and will be exciting in the future, which is why I went back and found the Time Capsule show and decided to merge it, commingle it with the information today, which is, how many years later is that? 16, 17, 18, 13 years. 13, yeah, that was my stomach. I wonder if you can hear that as loudly as I can, or it's because I have the headphones on. Maybe you have headphones on and you can hear it. I have no idea what you're doing. But we're going to do this, 2008. So I went back to the time capsule here and found that show. And I'm going to talk about the time capsule here for, we don't know how long, you know, I'm just going to roll along with the tongue and everything else. And then I'm going to slip over to what we talked about, the time capsule project in 2008. If we had, and if you did already make your time capsule and bury it, or secure it somewhere underground or in a, what in a bomb shelter? I don't even know. I didn't listen to the 2008 shows now either. You're going to hear it later on, and not the whole show. You're just going to hear the time capsule project section. So, well, if you already did, you would have 13 years. It would have been under already, buried, and hopefully not found, because 13 years is nothing. A good time capsule lasts, I guess, 100 years at least, right? Okay, so you're nodding, so that is correct. And then, you know, people who take the, open up the time capsule, you'll hear about this too, but I'm talking about now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over some things that will allow people who haven't done their time capsule work to make up their time capsule. And you know, if you know people out there who are not hoarders, you know, preppers. Imagine if you're a prepper and you're a hoarder, you can't build a shelter big enough, can you? Wow! If you're a hoarder, a hoarder prepper. I gotta write that down because we gotta look into this. What if you're a hoarder prepper? A hoarder prepper. I gotta get a prepper on the show. See, I know one, but we don't like one another so much that there's no way. Sometimes we've had people on this show who don't like me and I don't like them, and we've become friends after that. I haven't heard from them, but you know, I mean, we didn't scream at each other or fire guns at each other. But if you're a hoarder prepper, this is, I don't know how you make a time capsule. You'd have to make it, your whole house or one of those storage units would have to be where you prep. No, not a hoarder prepper. That would be where you would put your time capsule. You can't, because that's going to go too. You have to bury your time capsule. You have to put it in a secure, something so secure that it would, dare I say it, survive a nuclear attack. Would that mean lead? Probably not, because all that stuff we heard about lead is against radiation. I don't think that works. It worked for, you know, Indiana Jones in a movie, and it worked for Superman when it came to kryptonite, but I don't think it's going to work in real life. And this is, by the way, real life, you know? This isn't Tucker Carlson talking to you and in your face. Okay, this is me, Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is real life here. This is actual stuff going on. So, I don't know. We're going to look into that, I guess. And who knows? Maybe in the 2008 show it mentioned that. But what I'm going to do is talk about some things that are quintessentially now, so that even if this show is played again in like a year or two or three or whatever, or if I'm here, not here, whatever goes on, you know, if they use this show again, you'll know this was slated at Y2K plus 19. And, you know, things change so fast. A time capsule that of 10 years would be incredible, right? Think about what's happened technologically and therefore in your life in 10 years and what has changed around you. What has changed for you? What is changing even as we speak? Oh, excuse me. You know, I'm not drinking, okay? I'm not always drinking. I was drinking coffee. But there's a little bit of apple in there, you know, that one, and you know, the caffeine is not, it's the coffee. Caffeine's in the coffee, but you never taste caffeine, right? You don't taste, caffeine has no taste. But if you have fruit or a fruit cake or a nut cake or a nut, you know, and then you have coffee, likely not to digest completely, and you speak as much as I do here. You see, get that? Okay. So we found some stuff that was happening here, but first I'll make some announcements because there's things coming up that we do know about here on the show, and we want you to take part in them, should you care to. First of all, here's what I want anybody out there who wants to be on the show when I have people on the show, or, right? Did you say call in, Frank? Well, I guess you could, but, you know, not necessarily a call in. But when I want to, well, it's a call in. What are you going to do, right? Anybody who wants to should send me their Skype address at fcatolo@yahoo.com. Send me your Skype, I guess it's address, it's a tag, it's your name. What do they call it? Your Skype title? Who are you on Skype? You know, it's not like anybody... Or everybody, anybody, just some people do. It's not like everybody uses their real name, because they don't. Send that to me, because you can be a part of this show in a couple of weeks, less than a month, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be original, and it's going to be documented. That is correct. Okay, the April 11th show, here's what we're scheduling. On April 11th, the show will be part of a documentary. I don't know how long that will be because we haven't, you know, we're going to edit it. But a documentary does of, I don't mean this is just going to be saved, archived, the sound of the show is going to be saved. I mean, we're going to be doing some video. It's going to be produced by my son Ray, and he's going to be monitoring me on video, and we'll have some very funny things from the all day on the 11th. That means going into the show in the evening, which where it's going to start getting hairy, because what's going to happen on the 12th is I'm going to go to my favorite gastronomical genius, Dr. Tummy Holb. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you his real name. We got to find a name for him. Okay, and have what people my age have now and then, a procedure called a colonoscopy. Now, what we're doing is we're going to call it a catolonoscopy. So, and that is going to be the name of the documentary, which we're going to be videotaping, and of course, it's going to be the show. And Ray will be here, and we'll be taking a lot of pictures, stills, but, you know, video, as he does, because Ray is very good at that. He's going to direct it and produce it and edit it. I'm just going to be in it, and he'll be in it here and there. We're also going to be documenting the whole day. Now, you're saying, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that there is a great amount, speaking of preppers, okay, this is not prepping for a catolonoscopy. Is a pain in the, you know where, in the colonoscopy land. And so it's going to be fun watching me and listening to me as I go through these immense gulps of crap and Gatorade and junk and Jell-O. A lot of Jell-O. I can have Jell-O. There's no eating, okay? Now, usually when you go get a procedure and they're going to give you some kind of go to sleep juice. I forgot to call it. Any kind of anesthetic or knock me out. Great drugs. You can't eat, for at least, a long time. Or from, I don't know, is it midnight the night before? And I don't know. But I'm gonna be eatless for the longest time in my modern adult life, I think. I'm not sure about that, but that doesn't matter. And so, Ray is gonna take photos, and he's going to take video, and the catolonoscopy video, when it's done and it is edited and everything, we're going to put it up at we're going to make it available at SRN Media Works with links, or if we could even, or they can even upload it there, and on the Frank Catolo YouTube, or maybe the SRN YouTube, well, anyway, somewhere. We're going to make it available so everybody can see it. And it should be a lot of fun and a good promotion for everybody involved. And that means the listeners. Now, here's the deal. What about the Skype thing? We could, that night, when we do the show live, okay, and it's going to be interesting for the stations that replay it. It'll still be funny, all right, but the colonoscopy will already have happened. But on the live stream, which happens on Thursday nights at SRN Media Works, and which you know about by going to 148.ca and listen and whatever like that, I'm going to give anybody and everybody a chance to call in on Skype and ask me how I'm doing, or talk to me, or give me advice, or try to frighten me, or make fun of me, or whatever you want to do. Now, I'm taking a big risk here, because a lot of people don't like to do this. I mean, call in, right? But I'm going to let any... So a lot, what's going to happen probably is that people I know and already have their Skype tags or names or whatever you say are going to call in. But that's okay. All right? Whoever calls in, calls in. We can actually do, what, 2, 3, 4 people or whatever on the Skype. You can have a conversation there. This is going to be really wacky because I don't expect to be in the greatest of moods. And while I'm partaking in the cleansing preparations, Ray will be taking over the microphone when I have to, cleanse, when I have to empty, as they say in the hospital. Did you empty yourself today? When was the last time you emptied yourself? They say empty. Like you have you don't have control over that. That just happens. And it's got to happen a lot, when you have a colonoscopy. Now, not a lot of people have colonoscopies. People have colonoscopies. But this is going to be special and it's going to be part of this whole project. Now, can the whole thing just fall apart and not happen? Sure. I know. But these are our plans. You know, when they're going to go out and make a $50 million movie, which I hear is like cheap these days, and something happens, what? It happens. They could shelve that thing. So I'm telling you that the best laid plans of mice, men, and Catolos is to do this. fcatolo@yahoo.com. Because here's what has to happen. You have to, right? Don't you have to okay somebody for being on it, right? And then they changed it. Now Skype is, as long as it's free, I love it, okay? So, if you give me your Skype, Addy, it'd be an Addy. I guess we'll call it an Addy. You call it an Addy. And I will enter it into my Skype, and then you will be able to call in on that show. And you won't just be a part of the show live, which of course goes into the archives and lasts forever as long as we don't ruin it, or something doesn't happen that destroys it like it did from 2006 to before that. But you will be on it, and then it's very likely you'll be in the documentary. Your voice will be, at least. Because, we won't do a picture here. We're not going to do a camera here. Out to the Skype. It'll just be your voice. So if you want to do that, do that. I will tell you more about that come the weeks in between, should this show be doing okay. All right? Because we are... here's the other thing. There's going to be some cloud shows. These cloud shows are terrific now because I'm still doing my junk on them, right? And there's all sorts of other junk. So if this show is not on at any given Thursday night live, and there's not just a repeat of another show, then they just probably, most likely, they go to the cloud. And on the cloud, you hear things like, you hear me doing Common Sense Catolo pieces and various other little bits and pieces. You can also hear Carlene, who talks, is back and does stuff on the cloud. You hear Phil. You hear all the people from SRN who do that. Plus, great music that they pick there on SRN. So, you know, it's hot, it's contemporary, and it's funny, and it has a certain energy to it. That's fine. And so if you hear that, that's the story. Now, why would that be? Now that spring is here and my clock is correct, you know, I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you, I'll go back to the correct clock in a second. I'll tell you why. Because there's some things that are going to be, there's some construction going to go on here, which will stop will stop. I mean, you stop. It will, it won't retard the ability. It will cease. It will, look, we won't be able to do the show because there's going to be things all over here. And things mean nouns. There's going to be nouns, big nouns, heavy nouns, soft nouns. So while that is done, we can't do the show on a Thursday night. Okay. Cause it's got to be done. And it's got to be done. And then we hook up again, and maybe the next week. It should be only a week of that, you know. Then whatever else stops us. But before you know it, it's going to be April 11th, and that is going to happen. So now you know about it all. You know about the cloud. You know about the documentary, which should be fun, and you can be part of it. fcatolo@yahoo.com. You can write me there about anything if you want a response. You can write to me there for, you know, it's a good way too. If you write, now go buy the books yourself. You go to Amazon, buy the books, get the link. Do that. Oh, excuse me. Oh boy. Other announcements. Having to do, what am I at? I'm out of liquid. That's what the problem is. I had all that, coffee. And now I'm getting dry. But that's okay. I'll load up with the liquid when we get to the 2008 time capsule project talking. Okay, so you did all that. And I just want to say this right now to those people who have been following us for years and who still follow us and who know about us, who tell other podcasters. When a podcast, we do have a podcast, but, you know, this is a show. It's live and then it's on other stations, and we emphasize that you listen to it on other stations too. Maybe only if you don't get here on a Thursday night. And you could also download it and listen to stuff at, Juice Talk. Okay. So there's no excuse, but I just want to tell everybody who knows about the show, who has been here with the show, who contacts me. I got a lot of contact information from when we had our mystery guest, which was, I think, 2 weeks ago from, right? And the mystery guest is going to be back also probably going into the summer. We'll see how that works out. We'll see. I got to get rid of that. You know, when I was a kid, that's all I heard is, we'll see. We'll see. Nobody wants to commit. We'll see. Hey, Dad, are you going to take me to Nellie Bly so I could play the baseball game? We'll see. We'll see. Nobody wants to commit. Nobody committed. Oh, well. That's a whole another show, right? That's a whole show in itself. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, I want to say this to everybody who has supported me through the years and continues to. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. And huh? That's just something I'm going to say from now on because I appreciate you. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. Because when you hear what's going on, you know, even now with the podcasts, even now with the celebrity names, the smart guys and gals, the TED people, whatever that's all about, who do the podcasts, the news people, even now, all those people who were never here, people who don't really do radio do podcasts. And the people who do podcasts, because it's all they can do, because they can't get work anymore, or I don't know, you know what I'm saying. There's still nothing like Cthulhu Chronicles at all, anywhere. They can't imitate us, and they just play radio. They don't give you wonderful radio. And we have SRN over the last how many years since Amcast tanked. We have SRN Media Works. And primarily to thank for letting us do wonderful radio. And all the stations that still exist that have stayed with us and keep repeating and playing and new and old and everything that is Cthulhu Chronicles. Those are the stations that give you wonderful radio. None of the other ones you hear. They're just playing radio. Now, I mean this from the bottom of my cockles. From my bottom. Okay? I mean it. You're welcome for wonderful radio, and this is the only place you can get it. And I have, I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I'll do it on the front. It's been great. Get out, everyone. No, I'm still here, but you're welcome for wonderful radio. Now, let's do this. You have to keep this. I'm gonna, you know what? I know, I just thought of that phrase, this evening. Not like on the spot, but here goes. See how I'm gonna do it? There you go. I'm gonna post this so that it's always here. Let's see. I'll put it up right here. It's gonna say right here. I know, I'm off mic. There you go. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. Frank. Cthulhu. Cthulhu. How, and that opening, by the way, it was a little confusing. That was, the opening of this show was from the 2008 show. So all that little stuff in there was fun. It was all from that. I'll keep this little promo too, because we're going to tell you about that. Again, remind you about the Cthulhunoscopy documentary, which is going to be played here, and various stuff. So there. Again, slate this. How do we slate it? Watch UK plus 19. The idea is, if this, the recording of this, put onto a disc, compressed greatly, because I don't, unless you get, someone finds a 2-hour disc, or maybe an hour and 80 or whatever. Right? I guess you can do that. Can be a WAV file, and it's going to be an MP3 file. All right, I'll work that out later. But here's the one problem that I don't think we talked about, because I didn't hear the 2008 that we're going to hear in a while. I didn't hear that. But here's what might be the problem. In your time capsule, if you put this show, which in and of itself explains a lot about where the world is right now in Y2K plus 19. Things we say, things we talk about. There is such a thing as a virtual colonoscopy. I've been looking into virtual. I'm going to have an actual, and it, what I'm saying is, like, in the future, let's say it's 100 years and people are still here. There's nothing, walking around and doing whatever they do now or then. I mean, doing it. And they listen and they find the time capsule. Here's the main problem. Will they be able to play the disc? Right? We don't know. If you think about this, it's merely 20 years. This will give you a perspective. When this show began on internet broadcasting, it was not that long ago in the scheme of things. And yet, DVDs and CDs were there, but they were difficult to, load and do and stuff, right? And it wasn't long before this show came on, and, well, let's just forget about the show. It wasn't long before, the cable band, you know, fast moving band stuff, broadband. Thank you very much. Mind of mine. It's getting worse with that. I didn't tell you about the clock yet, but I'm going to tell you in a second. It wasn't long before there was broadband that there were no CDs. People were still using records and tapes, right? It was videotapes. There weren't DVDs. So the amount, the way things change between now and the 100 years and they find this, I don't know. Someone may have a machine, an old machine or some kind of contraption that can play these things. I'm sure of that. I shouldn't be sure of that. And I'll never know. Because I, nor you, nor anyone listening, nor anybody you know will be here in 100 years. No less do we know they'll find this time capsule, or these time capsules. See, if we all do this, and I don't mean all, I mean if many, many people do the time capsule project, there'll be time capsules everywhere. So one of them, two of them, three of them are bound to be found. Bound to be found. See, there's another slogan we could use. Oh, boy. So what happened and this is, you know how lazy I can be. And you know that when it comes to this show, I've guessed, I've never read the books, but I know things about the topic or whatever. And I don't, and I think somewhere along the line, summer, I don't know, the last time we changed the time on the clock, an hour back hour, savings time, not savings, every time. Regular time, normal time, Eastern time, standard time, regular time, normal time. But I didn't turn back. Would it be turned back? Yeah, I didn't turn back the studio clock, which is on the wall and has been on the wall since, 20-something years. I don't know. It's been up there. And so it was always an hour later on the wall. Of course, it wasn't philosophically an hour later, right? Oh, hear that? There's that sound. That sound's going to stop. Okay, it wasn't an hour later. No, it was. It wasn't. I didn't turn it back. So it was always an hour later on the wall. By the way, that is the name of my new book. It was always an hour later on the wall by Frank Cotolo. I'll be traveling through the bookstores, whatever they are, the book departments in supermarkets to sign the book. It was always an hour later on the wall by Frank Cotolo. So the wall that holds the clock and the clock is on the wall and the wall is in the house and the house is on the grounds where Jack built. Okay. So that is now correct, because I didn't change it. So a couple of weeks ago, it became the savings time? No, I don't know which one is which, but it came the one where it's normal. So, it gets lighter, later. I don't know. It stays lighter, later. Try saying that five times fast. That. So it stays lighter, later. It stays lighter, later because of the sun. And we put the clock back, it's lighter later. We put a clock? No, we put it ahead. We put the clock ahead, it's lighter later. All right. So what's happening now? Now I had some other subjects too. I have a great show topic I'm going to do along the line here. I'm going to tell you about a very special insurance man. I'm going to talk, it's probably going to be, an hour, there's a whole show. I'm going to tell you that story. I made a note of it. I'm going to do it right there. And any number of other things that I have. What else do we have here? Oh, I had to, I actually made some notes. Notes. I just wrote things down because if I'm going to do do some specific things from now in the culture, in the world or what have you, so that it goes into the time capsule. And these people probably really be confused too if they picked it up here now, because they went, what is this? Hopefully I'd keep them listening, but they would know it's a time capsule piece because they found it in a time capsule, right? So they'd say, hey, look, it's a time capsule. You know how to play this? Yeah, I know how to play this. That's the way they talk, of course, 100 years from now. I don't know. Maybe they speak a different language. Maybe there's more English. Maybe it's all one big language. It's mixed up. Maybe it's a commingling of German and French and Russian and Japanese. I don't know. And maybe it sounds like some, who knows? And we'll never know. I'm Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. What other show could this be? You're welcome for the wonderful radio, by the way. Cotolo Chronicles. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is the show, the only show. And you're always a part of it. The thing that I always understand, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I say it right now because it's pertinent to the point and the time of the moment. And that is, I never know when they're streaming this. Can't really tell how many people are listening. And sometimes, let's be honest, not a lot are listening. And there have been less and less, and I'll tell you why. Because the show is available so many other ways. So while I'm recording it, and it's live and broadcast, and your podcast people and your other people, your people out there, they don't do this, but I do this. So who's ever listening, and it may just be a scant few, but it doesn't bother me. I'll tell you why it doesn't bother me. As I said before, what I learned about broadcasting from the late, great Robert Weston Smith is this. Did I say Western? Weston. Western. Hey, it's look who it is. It's Western. Okay. Is this. Same thing when you're on the radio. You don't know who's listening, and there's no recoil of laughter or anything. That wouldn't be a recoil, would it? Yeah, sure would. There's no response. If the phone lines are ringing or whatever, okay, the point is this. There's no audience, no live audience. It's not someone you could see or many people you could see or touch or feel, and if you do that, you're going to get into trouble. What I mean is you don't have the human response to what you do. So when you're on radio, who's ever listening is listening. This makes you, it makes some people nervous. It makes some people comfortable. That's why a lot of people get into radio, because there is no live audience. They don't want to see it. If there is a live audience, but they don't have to see him or deal with him. But if there's only one person, it doesn't matter, because I'm always only talking to one person. That's what I learned from the great RWS. You're always only talking to one person. On this show, and on any radio show I do, there's you and there's me. Oh, call you. There's somebody else here, of course. You know what I mean? When I'm talking into this mic and going, I have no idea whether it's 100, 1,000, or 2, or 1, or 5, or no one. There's always at least one. I mean, come on. Let's not get carried away here. Even though, so much audience has left this particular platform because their whole world of entertainment is controlled by them now, the individual. And now that people go on Periscope to stand there and go, hi, how are you? You want to see more than my fingers? Go to Snapchat. Whatever that case may be, there's just so many outlets and so many places and so many things that people can do and shoot out their broadcasts, all right? But there's only one person. And if you have one person, you have to do exactly what you do if there's 10,000. So you don't draw back, you don't do it. And radio gives you the opportunity to do that still. And someday, wonderful radio, which is what we're going to call real radio like we do here, like no one else does, wonderful radio may actually become radio again. So you turn on your radio now and you just get, you get music and you get people telling you the weather and people still sounding like they went to broadcasting school. And if they did, they would have breathed better than I just did. You're listening to XKXKXKXK, whatever. And now here's the weather. Which is okay to give you the weather and stuff like that. But even the morning zoos, which are now just cartoons of themselves. That's what the zoos turn into. And the morning zoos, look what they gave us. They gave us things like people. I could say things. I could call people things because there's a noun. The morning zoo gave us things like Glenn Beck, right? Yeah. The minds of the world came from radio, right? Rush Fatbaugh, he was a DJ. So radio, so what I'm saying to you is that was, in a sense, before that, radio was wonderful. And it could still be wonderful. This kind of wonderful. Maybe long after I'm gone, not just from radio. They put me in a time capsule. Me and Walt Disney. Hey, freeze me up a Cotola, will ya? My cybernautics, what is it called? I don't remember. Cryonics. Thank you, brain. Wonderful radio may come back. Okay. Now we get the wonderful radio thing going. I'm going to love this until I don't love it anymore. But I'm going to... Hey, did you know... You know what... Did you know about stink bugs? Everybody knows about stink bugs, right? Stink bugs now showing up. I think I've even talked about it. Those little, they call them stink bugs because they don't have, they must have Latin names for what the species, is called. But here's something I didn't know. I've been killing stink bugs for a long time. Because from the moment they came over in a crate, this is how they got here, right? And saw a crate of some, who knows, could have been anything. It could have been, let's say what it could have been, okay? In crates imported into the United States from the Orient? Yes. There were, these bugs somehow got into the crates. Crates that had electronic equipment. Crates that had food. And what kind of food? Let's do the sub-phylums of the food. Fruits, vegetables, meat. We don't get meat. We don't get meat, do we? Okay. Flour. Where does that come from? Okay. Animal, vegetable, and mineral. How about that? Crates of animal, vegetable, or mineral. Those stink bugs came in and started to recreate, and suddenly that was a swarm of madness. Suddenly there are stink bugs all over the place, and the only way they could come up, call them anything, was because they stunk. Somebody probably crushed it with their hands and smelled their fingers and went, oh my goodness, these bugs stink. And then somebody said, let's call them bug stink. And he said, no. The adjective goes before the subject. Ah, stink bugs. Stink bugs. Okay, so I've been killing stink bugs since the moment I discovered them in my house. Which is out in the country. What country, Frank? You know what country. You know what continent. You don't know the address and you can't. Unless you know it, then come here. But here's what I didn't know. What I usually do is I got a tissue or a piece of paper or something when I see a stink bug, because these stink bugs are not like flies. They don't have antennae. Or an antenna, and not even one, no less antennae. They don't have a million eyes like a fly. So reflex. Okay, let's say reflex. They have no, preflex, because, you know, when you do a fly, you try to get a fly, and you think you got it, and just like you're right close to it, and it's gone, because it sees you, and it goes, very hard to catch a fly. No less a mockingbird. To catch a mockingbird, very big book. It was to kill a mockingbird, to kill a stink bug. So a stink bug's not like that. A stink bug just sits there, but it can fly. A stink bug flies lots of times when it's flying, and it's got these weird wings of, I don't know what it is, but it can look like a wasp, which I've mistaken it for wasps. And here and there, I've had wasps in here. Oh, boy, I'll tell you stories about monsters I've killed. The things I've killed here that have gotten into my house. That's what I'll do. But, you know, not people. Things. I don't mean things, because I said things and nouns are people. I didn't mean to say I kill people, because people are things and nouns, people, places, and things. I'm talking about the kind of things, you know, I consider it invasions. Mice. A month or so ago, you live out in the country, you always have to watch out for mice, because it's, when it's cold, mice seek places to get warm. And, you know, there were three mice in 3 weeks, three deaths. Got them all. Okay. But let's go back to the stink bug. It is pertinent for this too, because, you know, one of the mice that I caught actually had, in this trap, there was blood, because it, you know what happens with the traps. It kills them. It literally kills them. Listen to me. It doesn't inject some kind of sleep, inducer, and then you throw the mouse out and he just wakes up outside. It doesn't do that. It kills them. Claws, metal things that go into it. Don't call PETA and have them call me about killing mice, okay? That's why they sell mice traps. Mouse traps. One trap. They sell a mice trap. A mice trap would kill many, many mice at the same time. We're talking about a mouse trap. I mean, it gets them. It gets them good, and it's violent. So there was blood. But I expect that, right? Blood. Sharp objects are going to impale this rodent, and there's going to be blood. There will be blood. Not a book. I can't write that book. That book was already written and made into a movie. So I won't be go traveling. There will not be a book out there that says there will be blood by Frank Atola. That's by some other guy. I'm not plagiarizing it. But you know there will be blood if you're going to kill a mouse with a mousetrap. But for all the stink bugs I have killed, ne'er one did I ever see anything that resembled blood. They have a crusty shell. Skin is not like, you know, it's like hard, crusty. In fact, and what I always do is I never touch them, although sometimes they stink so badly. It's so strong, the odor, that it goes through the paper. If you use paper and then, you know, you just kind of squeeze them and kill them, or you could drown them. You could, you know, just, if you get them, hold them and then just drop them like in a turlet. The turlet. Or as we say, the commode. I love calling it a commode. My plumber calls it a commode. I love that. I think we did a show on that too. See, I don't even remember. There's so many shows. There's so many things we talked about for hours and hours and hours and hours. But here's what happened this time. I did exactly what I do to kill it, and it happened to be in my bathroom. So I had a tissue, doubled up, or toilet paper, commode paper. They should call it commode paper. And someone should do that, should market it, commode paper. But then people wouldn't buy it. They'd be walking down the aisle, they'd see this stuff and go, what, where's the toilet paper? Right? So I grab it and I squeeze it just enough so that it's probably dead, unconscious at least, and then it'll drown because I throw it into the toilet. Now I left and I flushed the toilet, the commode, Flush the Commode by Frank Cotolo. There it is. Flush Your Commode by Frank Cotolo. The wall is always an hour later. So I think nothing of it. Well, I go back into the bathroom again. Of course I do. I don't just go there once every day or something, 2 days or 3 days. You know, I use my bathroom. You use your bathroom. That's why it's there. I have two of them, but the one upstairs is where I have like a mini office and a thing. This is what my house has turned into since my life fell apart. Life as I knew it. Okay, so without any interspersing details or stuff or set-asides, I forgot what they call it, huh? You know, the little things on the side of a story. Ah, wild. What's happening with my, so I see this color on, this color. It's like strips. It's like, it looks like paint. It looks like brown paint. As I'm urinating in my commode, I look to, and I said, that's where I squeezed and killed the most recent bug of stinks. That right there. And I said to myself, that's stink bug blood. That is stink bug blood. Dude, we could rap that. Stink bug. I can't even say it. It's a tongue twister. Stink bug blood. Stink bug blood. Stink bug blood. Sounds like a clock. Tick, 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 tick. Stink bug blood. Stink bug blood. Stink bug blood. Now you're going to be going around all day and hearing, what is that? What's that going through my mind? Stink bug blood. But I realized I never saw stink bug blood before then. And I said to myself, again, because no one's there, who goes to the bathroom with you? I go alone. Hello? Unless there's some crazy, wild crazy, or really creepy thing happening, I'm in that bathroom doing my business alone. Of course there's showers, but that's a whole other story. So I get another tissue, and I think I wet it a little bit, and because it might, could have been a stain, or it could have been some kind of marking I never saw before. That's possible. Didn't you ever notice something that was in your house and you realized, or in your car or something, that was, hey, you know, I've never seen that before. Well, it's probably always been there. If you can't trace it back to an adventure or something happening or some other event that would put that thing, whether it be a stain or a rip or anything, right? It's always been there. You didn't see it. So you have tons of stuff. What do you think? You see everything? There's tons of things you don't see in your life, right? Well, it came off and I went to myself again. That's stink bug blood. Stink bug blood. which I had never, ever, ever seen. Isn't that something? Stink bug blood. So it does exist. Stink bug blood. Now, the person who's listening to this in the time capsule, they're going, oh, stink bugs. Did you ever hear of a stink bug? I can't even give you H.G. Wells would be good at this, right? Because you say, how do you think they'll speak, 100 years? H.G. Herbert? His name was Herbert. Herb. I wonder if they called him Herb. Hey, Herb. You know? I can't even come up with an accent or something that, so I'll just say it like I do. So it's some ridiculous voice that comes to my head. And I'll say, did you ever hear of a stink bug? See, they still talk like they're from, urban, from eastern urban cities. Well, bothers their English. Now they wouldn't have English accents. I don't know. Okay. So here's the story now. I'll take a short CC break. Remind you where you're listening to, who you're listening to, and why you're listening. I don't know. I can't tell you that. Other than the fact that it's wonderful radio. And the only wonderful radio on all those stations that have Cthulhu Chronicles and shows like it. There might be some here and there. No, we don't play radio here. We'll do that. Everybody could go replenish their precious bodily fluids or get the liquid that helps them replenish their precious bodily fluids and come back. And then I'm going to find, after we do our little thing here, we're going to find that spot. I have it written down here. Where is that spot? Yep. I did a little work. Yeah, I can't say I didn't do anything. There it is. I have to go to 1 hour and 5 minutes into the show from the 24th of January, 2008. And that person, that Frank, will talk to you about the Time Capsule Project. And then you'll hear more about that. So, the people who open it up, maybe they're not people. Maybe there's some kind of strange, we'll be right back.
Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Don't stop listening, because we're here. Cthulhu Chronicles, I'm Frank Cthulhu, man's name is Tony. Man whose name adorns the title of the show, here in the dark and rapidly turning to spring studio. Same desk. Geez, same mics. I'm actually talking into a mic that split into half and worked again. Now, here's what's going to happen. I have to find, let's see. Come on. Okay, stop that. What was that? Okay, there it is. I have to go to 1 hour and 5 minutes after. And, right there. Very close. I'm very close. You don't realize here, 1:05:22. Well, that's really close, huh? 105.06. This is going to be perfect, I believe. You're going to now hear from, you're going to hear about it. And you're here. Just keep listening. I don't have to explain it. It's me. You're going to hear me. But I might say something that you go like, hey, what are you talking about? That's not the way it is now. And that's not the way you talk either. I'm sorry. Here from the show, January 24th of 2008, Y2K plus 8 is the me talking about what we were talking about here, the time capsule project. Take notes, write this down, and we'll go from there. Here it is.
Where there was a satanic link to the killing of a goat, and a silence of the goats. It was silence of the goats here in Granville. And I'm going to... Oh, I just said When was the last time I said And has anyone written that down? I don't say a lot. Instead of saying I said sphincters. So whatever word it is, you know, that's the thing about it all, isn't it? I am Frank Atolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the program. This is not the Sphincter Chronicles by any means, although some people may consider my delivery as akin to the working of the muscle in that area of the body. I don't, but you know, you could do whatever you want. You could judge it. You could think. You think about it. Judge it. Do whatever you want. It doesn't bother me. I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. So beware. As much as things change, things stay the same. This is why I want to endorse the time capsule project. In the past, I have told you on this show that it would be great if you all made your own, and I still think it's great. Make your own time capsule. Dig it in your backyard or wherever it is you want to dig it. You want to, you know, let it go. Bury it is what I'm saying. As deep as you can somewhere. And preferably not on private property. You know, they're just going to dig it up and throw it away. And then there goes your work right out the window. But you can make your, do you hear that? I don't do that a lot. What's happening tonight? I need more medicine. No, I don't have medicine. I don't have drugs. I'm not on cocaine. And those of you who are listening for the first time, second time, who can't believe that I would be able to do this for 2 hours, just, you know, deal with it. It's not that hard. The time capsule, which could be some kind of a case that would not rot. And I guess I don't know. You gotta look into that. Do that. There must be these long lasting materials that if placed in the ground would be able to survive, and the contents inside of it would be able to stay usable, and time would not eat through this so that it was just a piece of garbage and buried, a piece of buried garbage. Of course, people may consider it, no, there's no one who would consider this buried garbage if they got a time capsule and saw what was in it from like hundreds of years ago or 100 years ago or God, these days, what is 100 years? If you put a time capsule into your somewhere, if you buried it tomorrow with items, artifacts, and various records and documentation of what's going on here in Y2K plus 8, and someone picked it up in 20 years, dug it up, holy moly, it would be gigantic, right? Because as I said, as much as things change, they stay the same. And they would find and be able to identify with, and they would cherish the items that you gave there. And then they would probably run right to eBay and say, here it is from a time capsule. You know, I mean, wait a second. 20, 25 years from now, what's eBay? We don't even know. eBay, they might not know what eBay was at the time. At that time, what it is. So the important thing to do is, now I've been telling everyone to do that, get together items that you'd want to, and then I ask them, if you please, take any one of these shows, or two of these shows, or what have you, and even turn them into data, so that they could fit on a CD. Because I don't think the whole show would fit on a CD. Well, maybe some of them would. If it was just an audio tape, maybe some would. Or some of it would, if not all of it. And put it in, a case, and then put that case in the thing, and, you know, into this, even if you have to insulate the thing, some way you can get a box that has various insulation. You can put the items in there. This doesn't have to be a big thing. I'm not telling you to get, you know, a 7 by 18 thing. Put it in there. But here's what I want to do. I would love to make a Cthulhu Chronicles time capsule, and you send me something with an explanation of what it is, why it is pertinent, and I'll, whatever it is, and I'll put it into our Cthulhu Chronicles time capsule. As opposed to doing one for just me, Frank Cthulhu, I want to do one for the show. I'm going to put in, I already got some books and things, and I'm going to make it, and then we're going to bury it here in Grantville, Pennsylvania, as deeply as possible. In a, and then we'll never, then we don't know what's going to happen, because it's going to stay there for hundreds of years. But something about you, now that you could do something, you realize how many CDs we could put in a time capsule. If you have something you want to put it on CD, you want to put something digital, you want to talk into it, you want to say, hi, I'm, my name is Bobby Brannigan, and I'd like to this, that, and the other thing. You want to put some pictures, you could put JPEGs, right? Files, whatever you want. Let's make a Cthulhu Chronicles. I'm being like, you'll be audience. Cthulhu Chronicles, I'll have my own CDs, and then I'll have one that introduces people or what have you, and then all you people, I'll do that last, so that I could say, and all the people here were audience members, people who knew and appreciated and were involved going down the Hallelujah Trail with me, Frank Cthulhu, in the Cthulhu Chronicles time capsule. Where can you send that? Where can you send that? If you write to me, fcotolo@yahoo.com, because I don't want to, and you send me, I'll send you the address, like you can't get it, it's public anyway. I'll send you the address, but email me. Tell me what you got. Tell me, or just say, I want to send a CD. I will, of course, look at the CD and then stick it in there so that I know who you are, what have you, and your name is. Make a CD. Throw in some pictures, family, friends, things, songs, whatever it is you want. But make it indigenous of our time, okay? And so that it says something about you, if you're an artist, you know, it says something about what you have to say in Y2K plus 8 or 9 or whatever. We'll see how long it takes to get enough material to put it in the Cthulhu Chronicles time capsule. Just write, don't write to me, just send, it's write to time capsule, post office box, no. Send to F. Cthulhu, so send me your name and what you want to do, fcotolo@yahoo.com. I will answer you. It happens. You can also get me now and then. This is why I'm not telling you. You can get me. You can get me now and then on Skype, frank.cotolo. If you have Skype and you see that I'm online, call me. Say, I got something for you and your time capsule. You and your time capsule. So go for it, okay? And then we'll get that. That's a little commercial for the time capsule. You know what we're going to put in the time capsule too? We're going to put this, we're going to put something about shortstop jeans. Maybe we'll wrap everything in a pair of shortstop jeans. TheShortstop.com. Because then they'll know 100 or 200 or 300, whenever it is that they find, they discover, I should use the word discover, this wonderful, compendium of timely matter and CDs and things that are in there. Wow. What if they pick it up in 200 years from now and they don't have a device to play the CDs? That's impossible, isn't it? That's impossible. There's going to always be a way, because it's just zeros and ones, right? Always be a way, and there'll always be someone smart enough to be able to translate whatever that is, even if it's turned into something else. Because even today, right, if you have a videotape, you could still watch a videotape. You could somehow, you can still go to a store and buy a turntable, or you can go to eBay and turntable. So let's just say that even though it might be antique, we're going to do that. It's all we have. It's all we can do. But at least we know it'll last. You see, it'll last if it's packed, vacuum packed, or packed well enough, and into this container. We'll know that a CD, because if we put just, you know, photographs, as they would have had to do like 100 years ago, okay. 100 years? Yeah. Photographs were around 100 years ago. If they, you know, if they did that, then, you know, they'd fade, we could do so much better now. And we're gonna hope that it stays there till 500. Can you imagine? And I don't know, wherever you are, I don't know, if there are spirits, if there's heaven, whatever it is, wherever you are, looking down one day, or knowing if you know this, or if you don't know it, maybe you do, maybe you won't, but, you know, this is a ticket to immortality either way, whether you know it or not. Whether you go into the great beyond, there is a great beyond, there is an afterlife, there is a way afterlife and a continuing eternal afterlife, or not, you will be immortal by being a part of this project. The Time Capsule Project, TCPCC. Cthulhu Chronicles Time Capsule Project. It's not a product, it's free. to whoever digs it up. I'm gonna make sure it really goes deep too, and that it doesn't. I'm gonna do everything I can, and I'm not asking you to invest any money in the capsule itself. I'm asking you for content. fcatolo@yahoo.com. Think about it. Email me. Get to me. It's all gonna happen. You betcha. You betcha. We still have time. This is Catolo Chronicles, and my name is Frank Catolo, right? What are we listening to?
You are listening to Catolo Chronicles.
The Frank is on. The Frank.
The Frank is on.
Yeah.
The Frank is on.
Yep.
The Frank is on.
And if you missed that,
Frank is on.
And here he is. Catolo, that's me. What else did I say we were going to talk about? Because we had plenty of talking about to do. I want to talk about this. Oh, wow. There's still a lot, huh? This fits into too. As much as things change, they stay the same. Now, you know, I remember I heard, if you never heard that or you never heard it put that way, you will now remember it. And I will be the one you remember hearing it from. I did it again. Wound up with from at the end of the sentence. I am the one you will remember told you. Just as I got it from someone else. Passing this on, of course, is neo-postmodern. And because I'm taking it and I'm making it my own and I'm putting it in this context. And Frank would be proud of me doing this. So he would be proud of me doing this in the first place. And he probably knew I would do something like this. But this is not the point. Because the point is not me. The point is, here's something else. Okay? In the old days, and I'm going back, excuse me, you know what, if that was if I had my table mic, that wouldn't have happened. No, it's not true. It would have happened anyway, because I gesticulate. Yes, even here, even now, no one watching, I gesticulate. I take the energy of my words and my sentences and my thoughts that I say in them, and, you know, I do things like fist, and so it's like a public speaking type thing, okay? Because I do that when I do public speaking, and I do public speaking. That means speaking to the public. You know, in those days, when Frank said what he said to me, there were, and as I was growing up even before him, there were gypsies. Everybody knows gypsies, don't you? It's even today. Even though they live in normal quarters, although the quarters they live in might be structurally normal, but they're not. And I'm not going to get into here. I'm not going to get into putting gypsies down. I don't even know what a gypsy is. By definition, it's someone or some group of people who just go from place to place. They never stay and they don't have any roots. They're gypsies. They travel around. They go from place to place and they get the stigma of being rather ornery and not so honest. That's a stigma. I'm not putting down any of them for anything. But they do have that stigma. And, of course, you remember seeing movies where they have these wagons. They drive, you know, around these wagons. And, of course, there's these sultry, right, the sultry gypsy women and their little, what are those, castanets? Are castanets the little symbols that people put on their fingers? And let me ask you, do people put those things on their fingers? You know, I'd love to get a pair of castanets and, like, go to, like, Guitar Center and say, hey, no, forget about Guitar Center. How about just go to, like, CVS drugstore and say, hey, where do you keep the cotton balls? Where do you – see, this is the stuff that gets me in trouble. This is neo-postmodernist, right? Okay. We all know the template. I use template for something. I don't think that's a template. We all know the stereotype of the gypsy, you know, the mustache and the hair and the kerchief and the thing, the headband and the clothes and the sultry gypsy daughter, woman, wife, whatever it is. And they dance, they're always dancing and they're playing guitars and they're doing these, from gypsy comes the term bohemian, because for all I know, bohemian, of course, defined a lot of different things. There was a time when I was considered a bohemian, because I was intrepid, okay, and because I was artistic, and because I was not, I didn't have a standard job, standard life, okay, all right. So, but the gypsies, maybe they came from Bohemia. Maybe there really was a Bohemia. I haven't done a lot of research on that. Put it in your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. Look it up later. Was there a Bohemia? Okay. And in Bohemia, is that where bulimia, were people in Bohemia bulimic? I don't know. See, I don't know. It just rhymed. I don't know if it has anything to do with that, but you never know with this stuff unless you look it up and find out the roots of it. Okay. But the gypsies, now I've had some really gnarly experiences with modern day gypsies. When I say modern day gypsies, I mean the ones who traveled around an entire family, like 10 people, and they would just wind up in this like one bedroom apartment. This happened in Los Angeles, and I don't know what these people were doing. They didn't get up and go to work in the morning, and you knew they weren't going to be around. And the landlords who didn't live in these apartment complexes that were sold. See, a lot of people in LA in those days. I'm only talking about those days, right? Late 70s, 80s, early that I know of. And the landlords didn't live in the complex. You know, they hired one of the people who rented the place to be like a manager or something. And they would manage the place and get maybe not free rent, but half rent or no electricity or something like that. And they would show people around to if there were free apartments and stuff. And then along would come some guy, and he would have like a slick hair, and it was it was long, sometimes in a ponytail, but that was not suspicious. And then there's a mustache, which is not a goatee, not a beard, a mustache, a real mustache. And no matter how gruffy he looked, and he tried not to look that gruffy, but even in a suit, this so-called gypsy, bohemian, looked ragged. But, you know, casual and ragged is not even, let's face it, in the 60s, casual and ragged was cool. And today, look at today. I was telling you about those pants you buy that the kids are buying. You're all ripped up, right? It's cool. It's something cool. It's cool to be sloppy. You know, what they define as cool. So in other words, here came a man, you knew something was wrong if his suit was iridescent. Remember iridescent clothing? What's that all about? Okay, well, when that was big. So anyway, he would come and he would say he has a family. And, I have a wife and some kids. That's it. You know, maybe an uncle, he would say, or something like that. So, and they want to rent an apartment. They'd rent this apartment. They'd come up with the security deposit and stuff. It was all cash. Because, if you're a gypsy or a bohemian gypsy or whatever kind of gypsy you are, you're traveling, two things happen. I mean, you're traveling with many people because there's always a band of gypsies, okay? And that doesn't mean they play instruments, although they do, probably all of them. So maybe it's the gypsy band too, okay? But the band of gypsies, it was called, because there were many people in it. But you were never alone. There was no such thing as a solo gypsy. What are you? I'm a solo gypsy. I am a gypsy on my own. Ayn Rand did not like gypsies, I guess, because they had no sense of individualism. They were like one another. And even though they were different than all the others, they were so much like one another that they lost their individuality and they became the gypsy. So this guy would come and he would say, you always have a voice and you have some kind of a talk. Like, I know, I'm doing the accents again. And you're going, that's just a cartoon. Well, that's okay. Because that's how we hear it in my head and that's how you're going to hear it. The point is, it wasn't simple English. It was not correct English. It was mushed up stuff. Because, he might have been two days before, he might have got off a plane. We were with the entire family, and they might have, or stowaway. They might have, stowawayed on some ship turned up in the harbor, and then next thing you know, they were out in the street with nothing except what they had on their backs or what they could carry in bags, and they were just walking around somewhere while this guy, one guy, goes to the manager of this apartment complex where the owner does not exist. And the owner does not reside. Oh, of course, the owner exists, but it's not there. Trusting the manager, who is somebody who is living there for some kind of agreement of paying less or what have you, and this person, the manager, is showing the apartment, thinking that it's like, well, maybe he has two kids. He has some. He says kids. I mean, kids. He doesn't say how many. And he doesn't lie. Sometimes they just out and out lied. They don't just say like, I have two children, or I just had. There's just my wife. Me and my grandmother, he would say. But he would say, this is just my wife, me and my grandmother. And that's just one of the crazy accents it might have been. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put on a show here for you, okay? So the gypsies would go there, and okay, and then, now I know this because this happened, you know, it's happened across the street from me, and then what happens, the next thing you know, there's like 25 people in this one bedroom apartment. There's 25 people. They're coming out of the woodworks. There's a different car there every day. You have no idea. You think the car was stolen. Suddenly, the whole neighborhood and all the people in the neighborhood are going, what the heck? What is that family? What's going on? And I just got into a major confrontation with one of them. I'm talking about nose to nose, face to face, because they drew me in to a conflict. But I don't want to tell that story. I just want to remind you that there are still those types of people out there. Here it is, the eighth season of the new millennium, and there are still gypsies out there, or people who live that lifestyle, which has been inherited, gypsy. Because, you know, as I said, you know, if you're a kid and you grew up in that environment, then, you know, that's what you are. It's what you do. I'm a gypsy. It's what I do, right? Okay? But check this out. Clans. There are also bands of gypsies and clans. Here's something from Associated Press. Gillian Flaccus wrote this. This story here. A dispute between two gypsy clans over control of the storytelling trade in a Southern California city of, it doesn't say, it should be a dateline, in a Southern California city, okay, has offered a rare glimpse of an insular culture that has long settled scores according to its own world rules. Remember what I'm telling you about now. They have their own code of everything. They live among themselves, with themselves. They're as cliquey as anything. And they prey upon others, okay? So, and one of the things they did, because they didn't go to work. They're not going to stay from place to place. So this, you know, the fortune telling, palm reading, eye reading, tea leaves out of the, anything they can concoct, you know, talking to the dead, crystal balls, the whole deal all comes from the world of, so here's in Southern California, and that's where I was telling, this is where I had that confrontation with a gypsy family. I'm telling you, 25 people, one bedroom apartment. Maybe it was a two bedroom apartment. That doesn't make it any better. Okay? Just behaving like nuts. I'm not saying that there aren't a gypsy cult in an insular culture, what a great way of putting it, right? Okay, the war had to do, the turf war in well-to-do Orange County of all places. Not Los Angeles proper. Orange County. This was, at one time, you know, the John Wayne Republican stronghold. Orange County, California. Okay? The well-to-do Orange County has unfolded like a gangster movie. Allegations of death threats. Scuffles. And there are nicknames like White Bob and Black Bob. Details revealed in a police report. And requests for resolution. Because this was going on in Southern California, two clans. So not only are gypsies in themselves, okay, not only are they outcasts of the general society, which we all fit into, no matter how cliquey we are with each other or what have you, okay, and it doesn't matter what religion we're, we're all in, no matter how different we are, we're not like that, okay? That is, so here they are now, conflicting with one another, okay? The older gypsies, who said this? Some guy has said this. Tom Marino, distantly related to one of the clans, has spurned his heritage. He said, the older gypsies are pulling out their hair, not wanting the courts in our business because they'll find out too much. Ignorance is the gypsy's weapon against the outside world. This is still going on. Generations upon generations of gypsy. Okay, the Stevens and Marino clans, like other gypsy families, have run numerous fortune-telling businesses in Southern California for decades. The trouble started 2 years ago when Edward Marino, see, I would find out there, well, okay, let's just get to the story. Edward Marino and his wife Sonia, well, this sounds like a gypsy, huh? Sonia the gypsy. You'll talk to Sonia the gypsy woman. She opened fortune-telling parlors, okay, in two sections of Newport Beach, not far from where the Stevenses, that's plural for Stevens, the Stevens clan did business, okay? So she's only like, what? It's like not far. From where? So the Stevens This is going to get like mob stuff. That's what they're saying, right? So the Stevens have this fortune-telling business. I guess that's how they're making their living there, right? So now in come the Marinos. And the Marinos come in there, and they say, well, what are we going to do? What do we do? We do what we do. We would tell the fortunes, because they know fortunes. If they knew fortunes, right? Hey, maybe they, yes, you know why they do fortunes? Because it's just too convoluted to open up a place where they sell mailing lists. It's easier to do the fortune telling stuff. Yeah, yeah, you don't want an office, you don't want a phone, nothing. All right. Members of the Stevens clan promptly broke in. Oh, wait, no, trouble started. Oh yeah, the Stevens clan, members of the Stevens clan broke in, stole a credit card machine, and threatened to kill the Marinos. The Marinos claimed in court papers. Since then, the bad blood has gotten worse. Now, this is fascinating too. The Marinos went to the police, went to the United States court system, and said, hey, these guys, these are gypsies against gypsies, and gypsies, and that's what I mean. Now, these gypsies, I mean, look, if you have a fortune-telling business, chances are you know you're scamming people, because this is why, right? I mean, what? You know, you get a license to do this, but there's no such thing, right? You don't take a test to become a fortune-teller. It's like John Edwards on passing over, crossing over, whatever it is, going over, right? Blowing over, boiling over, whatever the name of that program is. You know, the guy doesn't have to go out and get a license to tell you that he's talking to the dead. These people don't either. They're just telling fortunes. Apparently they can't tell their own, or they'd know if they were going to win the suit. In any event, the Stevenses are very territorial, said Tom Quinn, who is an attorney for the Marinos. Oh, my God, listen to this. Listen to what I'm saying here now. These gypsies who move from place to place, who have a billion people living in two apartments or whatever it is, they're cliquey, they're clanny, and they have a lawyer because they have rights. We have rights. We are gypsies. We have rights. We are gypsies. He said this is crazy stuff, so even he admitted it. At the root of the conflict is a delicate system of intermarriage and social customs that has diffused tensions among clans for generations. Okay? So now you get into delicate system of intermarriage. This is Anne said, according to an anthropologist who studies gypsies. An anthropologist! An anthropologist does not study, my family, as it goes back. And maybe I'll tell you that story someday. Gypsies trace their origins. Here we go. It's here. It's right here in the article by Gillian Fleckus. So listen up. You'll learn as much as I will about this stuff, okay? Gypsies trace their origins to India. Wow. India. India. As the British Sir Mulberry was shooting tiger in India. India. Okay, let's be serious for a second. Gypsies traced their origins to India more than 1,000 years ago. Okay, bad sentence, but you get the idea. They migrated to Europe in the 1300s, and for centuries they were enslaved and persecuted in Europe, where they were scorned as nomadic thieves and con artists. But they were skilled in fortune telling and those kind of things. Skilled. There's another one. Show it to Miss Gorgeous. Let's go to Miss Sonia. Miss Sonia, can I, it's like going to a doctor. She has on the walls, right? She has this, she happens to be skilled in fortune telling. And here are her documents on the wall, just like a good dentist, proctologist, specialist, or whatever. She doesn't have that. You just walk in. The place smells like incense. You ever smell those places? Have you ever gone to, a fair? I don't even know where you have them anymore. I'm trying to get some, and I am going to get some of those people, for this. I personally know a tarot card readers, and I have no people they hire for home parties. You know, you can get people read tarot cards, but I'm talking about gypsies, you know, but there it is. There's a whole history in one paragraph. India. I never would have thought that, huh? But here they were. See, they were persecuted, enslaved in Europe, scorned as nomadic thieves and con artists. Now, also, although many of them might have been, nomadic. Well, they were all nomadic, which of course means, you know, they were just moving around. Intrepid? Intrepid's not the word. Is that not the word? What am I thinking of? Insipid. Well, they could be insipid if they were nomadic. And if they were thieves, they could be insipid. Couldn't they? It's another great word. Insipid sphincters. How about that? Instead of chia pets. Insipid pets. Okay, let's get back to it, okay? Gypsies, also known as Romani. Did you know that? I didn't. I'm learning as you do. Gypsies are also known as Romani, R-O-M-A-N-Y. I believe I'm saying that right. They began arriving in the United States from Romania toward the end of the 19th century. And some people believe there are now 1 million gypsies in America. 1/5 of those 1 million are believed to be in California, where they dominate the fortune-telling psychic shops in funky beach communities and other neighborhoods. This is how they're making their living. This is how they're paying their rent. God knows what else they're doing. I don't know, because I don't know how you can make. How can you make a living as a fortune teller? I mean, a living, like, I mean, kind of living where you, like, can pay rent. I don't know. You have a hard enough time, you know? How do you do that? Well, you live close to the vest, as they say. The Stevens and Marino clans adopted an old world custom of uniting families through marriage. That was a way that Gypsy clans and Romani clans, okay, that's the way they handled the competition. They were like settle, not having, it's like a Romeo and Juliet in a sense, okay? The families, okay, would have this kind of bond, and they would bond through intermarriage. And so they did that old world custom here in America. So what happened was one of the Marinos married the Stevens patriarch, okay? But the family bond did not prevent tensions from flaring when, according to the Marinos, the Stevenses demand that they pay upfront and $5,000 a week to open their fortune-telling business in the Stevenson's backyard. Here are people claiming an area, a neighborhood, as their neighborhood. Doesn't it sound like mob stuff?
The Marino family should not be in the Stevens's territory.
Right? The Marinos refused this deal, despite, and here they were trying to be nice. I hate the word nice. Here they are trying to be cooperative with one another. You know, and then the Stevens come and said, well, we're going to do fortune telling too. You know, this is not like, what do they do? What are they going to do? Get together and gerrymander the neighborhoods, the fortune telling neighborhoods? What's that all about? This is crazy enough, isn't it? So, the family said, I'm not paying $5,000 a week. Here I am saying, how much can you make of the fortune telling business? And they're demanding $5,000 a week, like it's a franchise. The Stevenses wanted a franchise payment. And you know, you go open up your fortune telling place here. I sound like Boris Badenoff, huh? It is not, because you get in trouble. Then you only have to chase after moose and squirrel. You got moose and squirrel. Okay, so how about that? From now on, a gypsy is Boris Badenoff. And all bad foreign guys are Boris Badenoff. Bad enough. Don't you love that? Oh, God. What I wouldn't give for characters like that. Instead, we get SpongeBob. No, you know I'm going to have SpongeBob SquarePants on the program. Did I mention that? It's going to happen. Also, Nancy Truman's going to be back in a couple of weeks with another segment. And she's going to help me get SpongeBob SquarePants on the Cotolo show. It's not the Cotolo show. It's Cotolo Chronicles. And this is Cotolo Chronicles right here on your favorite way of listening.
You are listening to Cotolo Chronicles.
And here we are, brought to you by theshortstop.com in part, Talk Shoe, where you can go and get almost every one of these shows, download it anywhere else you can. Let's get back to the Marinos and the Stevenses, because we're heading 21 minutes left on this program here. So anyway, here they are. Gypsies have traditionally resolved problems in front of a secret council of elders that can impose fines and make territory decisions or something like the commissions. It's all called commissions that you see in these mob movies, which is all based on truth in terms of Cosa Nostra, mafia things and all that stuff. Okay, they don't like to involve non-gypsies because non-gypsies are considered impure. You see, that's how clicky they are. This is how, and it's a click within a click, because the band and the clan of the family is also, you know, can fight the other family, okay? But the Marinos felt that they should go to court, because that alleged break-in, they said, we're going to fight his. We'll do something different. This may be neo-postmodernism at its, yikes. I mean, think about this. Nomadic, gypsy, fortune-telling, there is nothing. Clicky, there is nothing mainstream. And yet, they decide to take a different route. Now, let's go to the court system, the United States of America, where we are here. So they go, okay? And they had a restraining order so that the Stevens fortune-telling place must be a safe distance away. Okay? The dispute wound up in court relics. The dispute wound up in court reflects an erosion of tradition among the gypsies, according to an expert in gypsies, some guy named Ian Hancock, who's an expert in language and culture at the University of Texas. So do you see what I'm saying? These are neo-postmodern gypsies. They are taking and using that which they know of, and they're taking their own culture, which would be their own self, if it's a person, right? Their own flavor, their own values, and they're adjusting it by using it with the powers that be. The Romani world was used to be, said this guy. Here's Ian Hancock talking. Used to be that the Romani, the gypsy world, was absolutely insulated from the outside world. And but what is this? He found the MTV. People are beginning to see alternatives. What is this about MTV? I don't know. Some of this copy is cut off here. I guess that's just what happens there. So anyway, this guy says that there are gypsy women. There are cases in which gypsy women in Houston hired lawyers to get their ex-husbands to pay child support. Now, that used to be unheard of, to use the system, a gypsy to use the system. Maybe a guy. The women needed that too also, because remember, they're gypsies. Their marriage vows, there's something that's different legally in terms of how they bind with each other. How they bond with their family. There might even be, dare I say it, incest. Who knows? Right? Things were calm for months with the Stevens and the Marinos. And then the patriarch of the Stevens clan died of a heart attack at only 53 last May. That could be. Now, I don't know. We have to look at it. It could be that gypsy food, that gypsy diet. Okay? That old gypsy diet that killed them. We don't know. Edward Davy showed up at the funeral. Who's that? Edward Davy showed up at the funeral, pulling up at the ceremony in a limo that was described as a menacingly burly chauffeur-driven car. Marino said, who's Stevens? Oh, no, that's Edward Davy? I know his name came out of nowhere in this story. I don't know. Marino says members of the Stevens clan attacked him. Okay, so he shows up at the Stevens. Oh, this guy shows up. Maybe he was a Marino. Maybe that's they're just missing it. He shows up at the funeral, and they're having a funeral. You mean like at a regular place? Oh, I'm confused. These gypsies are really going out on a limb here. Okay, so he shows up, and then Marino says the members of the Stephen clan attacked him. They attacked this. Oh, that's just Edward Davy Marino. He shows up to pay his respects to the Stevens patriarch, and they attack him. He says members of the Stevens clan attacked him, and they screamed, "We will make your life a living hell!" But then Marino flashed a gun and threatened to come back and kill them all. Right? Here they are, using the system, and yet they're just waving this flamboyant culture, this insular culture, traditional. Oh man, there's a lot of hostility in this, isn't there? Both sides agree that Marino shouted before he shouted that he wanted to make sure the mother, he wanted to make the mother expletive, was dead. You know he did not. We expletive, according to Associated Press, didn't want to use the word Farker. You know, they didn't want to use that four-letter word. You mother expletive! I will make sure the mother expletive is dead! Wouldn't it be great if people edited themselves that way when they said something and they used it and they said that? You know, it's like they didn't want to say the word in public. So they used they used the word expletive, you know? So it's like, hey, did you expletive her? Some friend says to another, don't tell me you expletived her. He said, yeah, you bet. What the expletive are you talking about? Get the expletive out of here! That would be great. I mean, we do away with the word itself, or the word itself, the four-letter word itself, which I could say because this is alternative broadcasting, but I'm not going to, because it wouldn't even make the point. You know what I'm talking about. So to say expletive, right? You mother expletive! Okay, so what's happening with these people, okay? After the scrap, someone left ominous phone messages and threatened to kill Sonia Marino and the couple's child, said Edward Marino in court papers. So there's threats, there's stuff going on here, and they're saying, hey, he said that, they have phones. I guess they have to have phones. If they have phones, they must be planted somewhere. Well, they are planted. This is almost like squatter's rights, I guess. They've taken that Southern California, it's not hard to believe, until something happens and they have to leave or get out of there. It'd be no problem because they're nomadic by heart, by nature. I'm nomadic by nature, right? I'm historic by deed. Edward Marino then filed for restraining orders against the four Stevens men and two Stevens women. Don't come near me. I have a court paper here. So get the expletive off of my property. It's not his property. They don't own it. And then Stephen's nephew, the only gypsy directly involved in the feud, who spoke to the Associated Press, said the Marinos made allegations and are using the courts to try to drive their rivals out of Newport Beach. So this is being particularly smart. Because they're trying to find a legal way to get them the expletive out of there, right? If you get them the expletive out of there, legally, then they can do all their illegal, allegedly mysterious. I can't accuse them of being thieves and stuff. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves. You see them in the running down to Newport Beach. Yeah, I don't know. They beat themselves up, and then they testify that we hired people to come to their house and beat them up. said one of the Stevens. Don't you love this? This is great. This is classic. They beat themselves up, and then they testify that we hired people to come to their house and beat them up. Oh, my goodness. And you could see what's happening in the Marino's house. You beat me. You hit me. I hit you. We bleed a little. Then we claim they do it. Huh? And then we go get moose and squirrel. This is outrageously wonderful. It's no different. Okay, let's do the end of this, and then we'll cap it with a theme. Stevens owns two fortune-telling parlors. Okay, he owns parlors. They probably rented out of a place. I mean, you know, you don't really need a lot of materials to open up a fortune-telling place. You don't need a lot of lights. Because, you know, the whole thing, right? So they go, the electricity bill is nothing. Because you want to use candles and you want to get an atmosphere. So you don't even have to put lights. One little lamp in the corner, 40-watt bulb. Get it at a discount place for 10 cents. You throw it in. You know, a couple of candles. Candles can be expensive, but you don't get the expensive ones. You know, a table. It doesn't even matter what the table looks like because you're going to put one of these big, heavy gypsy rugs on top of it as a tablecloth. And they make those, so they don't even, right? Okay, so it's nothing. But he owns two fortune-telling parlors. You ready for this one? And a deli. So he's really in business. He owns a deli. Come on in. Today we have corned beef sandwiches. Big corned beef sandwiches, rye bread. You like them. Eat them. And then go down the block. Get your fortune told. We'll tell you that you will digest them. This is like so bizarre. Stevens said to the Associated Press, I feel like they've made me out like a character for someone in The Sopranos. I'm a businessman. I'm a family man. That's all I am. course, that's saying it that way. Saying it like the Boris Badenov, the gypsy, is. I feel like they've made me into a character, oi, in the Sopranos. I'm a businessman. I'm a family man. That's all I am. The Stevens and the Marinos. Gypsies? Blood that dates back 1,000 years to the ruins of civilization in places like India. I mean, what's India now? India is a country where the cows still walk the streets, but they have an atomic bomb. And then migrated to Europe. The 1300s, these families, the blood goes back. They can't maybe trace it person for person because they're so nomadic. Who knows where these people wound up? But, oh, my God, there they are. But they're here today. They're here today and not gone tomorrow. They're starting to plant roots. There's 1 million so-called Romani or gypsies in the United States of America, many in Southern California. It's a big state anyway, right? And what are they doing? They're just using the modern way. They're doing something different. They're using the court system. They're trying to put the law on their side. Here's the point. Was it any different than when they came into New York? Or any different than the families that I saw in Southern California who might have eventually stopped being nomadic and found a neighborhood down somewhere and opened up a profitable, I don't know how profitable, a parlor?
There's history. That's some history. So you understand now how to put together your time capsule. This is a great show for a time capsule. All that, I forgot about all that other historic stuff that we talked about. But there you have it. So that's what went on. Now you know how to do that. And my name is Frank Tolman. His name is Jones, the title of the show. This is, it's all live, so what's the difference, right? It's me back here. Let me remind you before we split. fcatolo@yahoo.com. We want you to call in and have some fun and be in the documentary on April 11th when we're here streaming live. And taping the documentary and going through all the crap I'm going through. And you want to do that. We hope to be, I don't know about next week, because like I said, there'll be some construction done down here, but we'll take care of that. The blog is catolochronicles.blogspot.com. You all know what's happening at that point there. And then at Facebook, if you don't see a big... It's not even big anymore. You don't see a come on down and listen to the show thing, then we're not on. Or it'll be on the cloud. See, we have it all covered now. We have catastrophe covered, and we have all that stuff put together. My name is Frank Tolman. His name adorns the title of the show. As I said, let me just say this before we hit the theme. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. You should never just turn it off when you hear the theme. Because I always talk a bit and tell you exactly when I will stop talking, right? So you know everything that you need to know for now, but you will know more next time we're here, one time or another. 148.ca/Frank for the weekly blog on top of everything else, or maybe to the side of everything else. And good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil, wherever you may be located at this time. And everybody else, you're welcome for the wonderful radio. Which I stop now because I have nothing more to say.